We're discussing yesterday an unusual shaila in the Maharsham, in his Tshuvas Chelek Gimel Simen Kufnun Aleph, based in part on a Ramban in this past week's Parsha. And as you recall, the question was with regard to someone who sold his Averos, or more accurately, paid someone to take on his Averos, and the Onesh that results from those Averos. And just in brief summation, we said that the Maharsham says, on the one hand, this is not a usual Kinyan Kesef. Usually the one who acquires something pays money for the privilege to acquire that item. Here the one who is acquiring the Averos is being paid to acquire the Onesh that is going to be given to the one who deserves credit for the Averos. So it's not a usual Kinyan Kesef. Maybe Maharsham suggests the Kinyan should work because there was a handshake. Kinyan Situmta, Minag HaSochrim. They shook on the deal. Shaking hands is also a form of accepted Kinyan in society. And ultimately, the Maharsham quoted the Tshuvas Maram Malashkar, Simon Kovalev, who quotes the Tshuva of Rav Haigon, who says, this is ridiculous. You can't sell punishment for Averis. You can't sell Schar for Mitzvos. And remarkably, although that's what Rav Haigon writes, and the Maram Malashkar says that this is the Kabbalah from the Gaonim, how could we say anything different? The Maharsham nonetheless says, that means you can't make a formal acquisition or transaction of a sale on Schar or Onesh. But the Maharsham says that Midin Arvus, this is his Chiddush, the fact that Kol Yisrael Revim Zeh Bazeh, each Jew can assume responsibility for another. So Maharsham says maybe Mechira doesn't work, a sale doesn't work, a purchase doesn't work, but a Jew could volunteer to accept the Onshim of another Jew. And then it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Maharsham, to decide who he chooses to mete out punishment to. Same way when it comes to Dinim Ominous, if I borrow money from you and my neighbor is my guarantor, so the lender can choose to sue me, to sue him. So too, says Maharsham, midin arvus, someone can assume the onshim of someone else. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide who he wants to punish. And as raya to that, the Maharsham quoted, we mentioned the idea of Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo, that a son says during the first year after a father's passing, I should be an atonement for my father, implying that he can take upon himself the onshim for his father. We find that not just a father and a son, but the Gemara says in Meseches Sukkah that Reish Lakish said about Rabbi Chiya, Hareini Kaparas Rabbi Chiya Ubanov, that I should be also an atonement for Rabbi Chiya and his sons. And Rashi explains also, my Yisurim should be a kapara for him. So even, not just father and son, but even others can apparently volunteer, says Maharsham, to take upon themselves an onesh, a Yisurim, as a kapara for someone else. And ultimately, the Maharsham concludes that the person who gave away his Averos and Onshim, Maharsham says, don't celebrate what you did, but at least it shows that you regret having committed those Averos, trying to unload them on somebody else. He says, the purchaser, chacham that he is, should fear for his life. What does he think he's doing here, taking on someone else's Averos and Onshim? And according to Maharsham, that this is, in fact, Midin Arvus, something that could, in theory, work. So the Maharsham concludes with that as his perspective. Oh, very good question. In other words, what are you doing to the poor purchaser? Now, I guess the Maharsham's assuming that the purchaser knows what he's getting himself into. Everyone knows he's taking upon himself a veros and onshin. That's not a wise thing to do. The person who's giving away his onshin and his veros is not misleading him. The guy's a fool for accepting the offer, but is it Lufnei Iver? It's a good question. Maharsham doesn't mention Lufnei Iver, I guess because there was no trickery or deceit going on here. It was a pretty open, shut deal. You're right, the fellow's a fool for doing it. Is that Lufnei Iver? Maharsham doesn't suggest that. That's an interesting ha'ara. Yes, for sure, without question. So I saw today the Tzitz Eliezer in his Tshuvas Chelek Tesvav Simen Lamed Hey. Oh, very good, very good. Hold on. So, the Tzitz Eliezer quotes a tshuva of the Machane Chaim, of Chaim Sofer. And he was asked the following shaila in Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Simen Chaf. He said, there in our town, he says, there was a fellow who was an Ani, a Ben Torah, and very, very unfortunately destitute. And a wealthy fellow was making a bris for his son, celebrating with a big seuda. So then he comes to the usher at the seuda. He says, do me a favor, please help me out with some financial assistance. So the usher says to him, I have nothing to give you for free, but I'll sell you something and give you money for it. Meaning, once again, similar story, as bizarre as it seems. The usher says, I'm giving you 10 zehuvim, and in exchange for that, you take upon yourself all my averos that I've ever sinned. Amazing how people think. And then he delineates the lashon havidui from the Yom Nirayim. He reads the whole paragraph of all the different chatoim a person can be chayav for. He says, I'm giving them all to you. 10 zehuvim is your payment. And the ani nods his head. Yeah, he takes the money. The ani walks outside, and everyone rushes him. He says, you're crazy. What do you think you're doing here? You take upon yourself all this guy's averos, all his own shim, are you out of your mind? And people started avoiding him, like, what kind of person is this? Is that his meshugana? What's he doing? So the ani suddenly realizes this is a really dumb deal. What did I just do? He runs back to the usher. He says, I want a refund here. Here's your money back. Let's undo the deal. And the usher says, no, sorry, too late. Too late. So this poor ani now, so he's looking to get to find some way out of this. What is he supposed to do? Yeah, okay. So Machane Chaim was asked this shaila, and Machane Chaim cites the Gemara in Shabbos and Haman Aleph that we said that Rav Haigon, quoted by the Maram Alashkar in his Tshuvas Kabbalah, also referenced. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says very simply, Amar Rav Ami, Shabbos and Haman Aleph, Ein Misa below Chait, Ein Yisurin below Avon. You don't get punished for not sinning. Hanefesh Chatas Hitamus, Bein Lo Yisa Ba'avon Ha'av, Av Lo Yisa Ba'avon Ha'ben, Tzidkas Atzadik Olav Tihya, Rishas HaRasha Olav Tihya. So this is the same Ma'im Chazal that the Maram Alashka cited B'Shem Rav Haigon, and the Machane Chaim, without citing those Maram Makomos, cites the same Gemara. He says, it seems very clear that you can't have someone take on punishment for you. What do you mean? Harei Nekaparas Mishkavo, that Marsham's Raya, we all know the minug, to say Harei Nekaparas Mishkavo, does not mean that you can be Mekavo upon yourself as a kapar for someone else, the Onshim, the Yisurim? So Machane Chaim asks that Kasha, doesn't quote the Marsham, not sure whose tshuva was written first, but he quotes that Kasha. What about that idea of Harei Nekaparas Mishkavo? So that's quoted in the Gemara Kedushin, Lamed Aleph, it's the Shulchan Aruch, Yehudei Reish Mem, says Machane Chaim, how could someone be mekabel upon himself, Harei Nekaparas Mishkavo? He says, no, that's just a form of kavod. The son wants to be mechabed the deceased father. He says, I wish I could be a kapara for my father. A Talmud wants to be mechabed a Rebbe. He says, I wish, Harei Nekaparas Mishkavo. He says, it's not pshat that it works, that you can be mekabel voluntarily someone else's own shim. It's a form of kavod, as if to say, I wish I could. And maybe by davening so, the tefillah will help somewhat to be in some way zocha to lighten the severity of the onus of that individual. It doesn't mean that you can mekabel voluntarily someone else's onshim and yisurim. That's how the Machane Chaim understands the Harei Nekaparas Mishkavo. He then says further, he says, what about famous pasuk in Chumash, Parshas Toldos? Amazing how he brings rayas from Sukkim here. Parshas Toldos, the brachos, the bechora, what happens there? Rivka tells Yaakov, get dressed up, go into Yitzchak, pretend that you're Esav, get the brachos, and he's afraid to go in. So what does Rivka tell her son? Not to worry. I'll take the curse upon me. What do you mean? You can't just volunteer to take someone else's call upon yourself? So Machane Chaim says, it doesn't mean that if he is going to be punished, she'll take it upon herself. If you look in Unklus says the pshat is that Rivka was telling Yaakov, I know, b'nevuah, that you will not be subjected to any sort of curse, my son. That's what the pshat is. Not that she's taking upon herself voluntarily that which she should have gotten. She's saying, no, I'm convinced, b'nevuah, that's not going to happen to you. So don't worry about it. Nothing to worry about. So writes the Machan Chaim. Furthermore, he says, aside from that, he says, how can someone sell something undefined? I'm selling you all my averis. Even if you can imagine that there'd be something to talk about, kinyan-wise. You can't make a kinyan on something which is undefined. What are you purchasing? What are you taking upon yourself? What are you paying for? All the averis. Well, come on, be more specific. You can't even, in Medina Mekach Memkar, sell something so general, so broad, so undefined. And the Ibra says that there is no concern here whatsoever for this mekach, this business transaction. And unlike the Marsham, who deals with arvus, Machan Chaim says, no, you can't assume any such sort of responsibility or liability.
He's saying that if he delineates which
averus,
then he would be able to
do it. So, mitzad mekach u'memkar, he's just saying that what you sell has to be delineated specifically. Even if that had been the case, he doesn't think that you could, because of what we just mentioned beforehand. You can't just sell ish b'chata yumas. You can't just sell your liability for your averus. And then he goes into the musr. This usher is so concerned about his averus. Do tshuva. Don't dump it on somebody else. What kind of guy is this? He says that he goes into the musr for the usher, and he talks about the ani also. Nebuch, this ani, what are you trying to do for yourself here? So that's the tshuva of the Machan Chaim. So you have a Marsham, you have a Machan Chaim, and then remarkably, I mean, I don't know how many times this happened in Jewish history. You have the Meshiv Duffer, then Netziv. The Netziv, the Tzitzel Yazir quotes, Chela Gimel, Simon Yud Dalid. The Netziv talks about a tshuva to a Rav in Tveria, somebody who sold half of his zechuyos. Okay, this is a guy selling his schar. Someone sold half of his zechuyos, half of his mitzvos, for 22,000 ruble. Okay, I'll give you all half my mitzvahs, half my zechuyos, 22,000 ruble to a wealthy, wealthy guy. And this wealthy guy makes the down payment on half the sum. And then the wealthy guy goes to a chacham. He tells him, Rabbi, I made a deal. I just bought someone's half his mitzvahs. The chacham does a shelas chalom, says the netziv, wakes up the next morning, comes back to the usher, bad investment. I checked the guy out in Shemayim. He's an average Jew. He thought you bought half his mitzvahs. No, not such a grace of deal. Not such a great deal. So the usher now feels gypped. I thought this guy's a grace of tzaddik. I'm getting a great deal, half his mitzvahs. I want a refund now on my down payment. Unbelievable. So, what a Rav has to paskin here. So Netziv, once again, he tells this individual who sold half his mitzvahs, this guy is an Esav who sells the Bechora. What do you think you're doing here, selling half your mitzvahs? You're an Esav. He says, you think you can put a value on the schar ruchnius that you're going to get for some money, for some cash? You're mevaza the melech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you covet for your mitzvahs. You're selling it for cash. Are you out of your mind? What a bizayon to the melech. So he gives shtark musa to the mocher here. And then he too analyzes after the musa. But lamaisa, is there any chalos to the kinyan? Is there any chalos to the kinyan? And the Netziv argues that there is no chalos to the kinyan. It's a davar shelo bala olam. You're selling schad. You're going to get that's not here yet. And when are you going to get it? After you die. By that point already, you can't make kinyanim anymore. It's a davar shelo bala olam. You can't sell schad that's yet to come. So the Netziv therefore rejects the sale of schad that is going to come in Olam Haba. He says it's a stam devarim betalim. You can't do that. And besides the musr, he says, it's not a valid business deal altogether.